Dear fellow redeemed of God, our Heavenly Father, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, cleansed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. A pastor tells this story of an elderly man. He said, during my days in college, one day an old man showed up at the door of the house that we were renting. Opening the door a few inches, we saw that his eyes were glassy and his furrowed face had a prickly gray beard. He held a tattered wicker basket full of unappealing vegetables. He greeted us with a good morning and offered some of his produce for sale. We were uneasy enough to hastily purchase something just to get him to go away, a little bit out of pity, a little bit out of fear. To our chagrin, he returned the next week. This time he introduced himself as Mr. Roth and explained how he lived just down the road in that old shack. As our fears dissipated, we realized that it was cataracts, not alcohol, that gave his eyes the glassy look. During future visits, he would shuffle in with two mismatched right shoes on both feet and play some tunes on his harmonica. With an attitude fixed on future glory in heaven, not his life on earth, he would sing us gospel tunes and we'd visit about vegetables and religion. On one visit, he exclaimed, "The Lord is so good. I came out of my shack this morning and found a bag full of shoes and clothing on my porch." "That's wonderful, Mr. Roth," we said. "We're so happy for you." "You know what's even more wonderful?" he replied. "Just yesterday, I met some people that could really use them." There's no doubt that we've all met people like Mr. Roth in this story before, even though it's a rare thing. These are people who embody what it means to be thankful to the Lord. These are people who express their thankfulness with joy by being generous to others, even though they themselves have many needs in life. They want others to feel the same love that they have from God. This morning in our text from God's Word, we consider another example, just like Mr. Roth, of the widow in the temple. We read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." What we see here through God's Word this morning is a lesson on true thankfulness. When I think of thankfulness, I venture to guess that it's not exactly the most appealing topic for us to think about in our lives. It's a topic that can be uneasy for us as Christians. It's not that thankfulness is a bad thing. It's not that Thanksgiving Day is not a cheerful holiday. But thankfulness is an aspect of our faith that is our responsibility. It's one of those things about being a Christian that God directs at our lives. It's one of the things that we know God commands. He wants us to be thankful, to be content and grateful for what He's given us. We know that we have an obligation in our faith to give a testimony of our thankfulness, to return that thanks to God for what He's done for us. But all those aspects of the faith are our responsibility, and it can create some tension and uneasiness in our faith when something is our responsibility. Our comfort as Christians comes from what God does for us. Our hope as Christians is rooted and centered on the work of God, not on our work. That's where hope and comfort comes from. This is true in other similar areas of our faith that are also directed at our lives. We might think of prayer, praise, offerings, stewardship, acts of kindness, fruits of faith. Sometimes it's second nature for us to put these things on the back burner because they're secondary to what God does for us. Sometimes we neglect these responsibilities in our lives because we're so focused on the blessings we have from God. But sometimes it works in the opposite direction too. that we fear these things, that we center so much of our attention and focus on them that we forget what God has accomplished for us. How do we strike an appropriate balance? How do we show true thankfulness in our lives? Well, we get a lesson from this widow. First of all, this widow is entirely dependent on God. Her thoughts are entirely focused on God. We're told in our text that the widow offered 2 small copper coins that day in the temple. The only other account in the Bible to describe this story, to tell this story, is the parallel account in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark provides us a little bit more detail as to what exactly these 2 copper coins were. It's hard for us to really get a grasp of how much this widow had and how much she gave. Mark tells us that the 2 coins made up what was called the quadrants. And when we compare that to other monetary figures at that time, a quadrants was about 1/120th of a denarius. 1/120th. Denarius is a common marker for that monetary value of that time because it was 1 day's wage. So the 2 small copper coins that this woman put in the temple treasury amounted to 1/120th of a day's wage. Understanding that helps us recognize the widow's poverty. Everything she had in life was just a mere fraction of 1 day's wage. Even if she kept those 2 small copper coins for herself, what would she really be able to do with them anyway? Yet there must have been a certain amount of fear in her heart, knowing that as her hand dropped those 2 coins in, she was offering up everything she had. As Jesus described in our text and to his disciples, there was a lot more going on here than just the woman giving a gift to God. This widow was also committing her life to the Lord. That's the first marker of true thankfulness. The exact amount of money doesn't matter. The significance of the offering in God's eyes is not determined by the earthly value of it. God wants us to give of ourselves before we give of our money and possessions. He wants us to be ready to commit our livelihood to his will rather than us giving him many great riches. The Apostle Paul described the same mindset, the mindset that this widow had of what our faith dictates to us when it comes to thankfulness. He said in Romans chapter 8, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also freely, along with him, graciously give us all things?" That's the mindset of faith. That's what it means to be focused first and foremost on God in all areas of our lives, especially in our thankfulness, is that we come to grips with the realization that if God offered up his own son on the cross for my sins, won't he provide for my food and my clothing and my shelter? If God cares enough about me to want me to be in heaven with him for eternity, won't he also provide my daily needs here on earth? Faith is not about having all things figured out for ourselves and then, at that point, being willing to praise and thank God. Faith is knowing that even though life is chaotic and we don't have things figured out on our own, we know someone who does, and we can rely on God who does. Paul reminds us also that faith looks chiefly to the work of Jesus for us on the cross, to the gospel of forgiveness. If God accomplished that feat, something that we are helpless to even think about accomplishing, if God did that for us, and free of charge, we might add, will he neglect our daily needs? That is the mindset that the widow had in giving her offering to God, and not just giving the 2 coins, but giving her entire life to God. Is that how we approach our offerings? There are many pitfalls associated with the things that we give God. There are many ways that we can fall from true thankfulness. Sometimes we think that our offerings to God are more of an investment than a gift. Sometimes we think that, well, if I give so much to the church and I'm helping fund so much, that I should have a certain amount of power or influence or effect in proportion to what I give. Not according to Jesus. According to Jesus, that kind of mindset is giving on the outside without giving from the heart. That kind of mindset is trying to serve the Lord without actually trusting the Lord. This widow gave because she knew that God was in control of her life. She didn't give because she wanted power or influence. She didn't give because she wanted a higher standard of living. She believed that God would not abandon her. She trusted that her reward in heaven was much greater than any treasure she could have here on earth. And that was what led her to be thankful. The second aspect that we recognize from the widow of a truly thankful heart is that it cares more for others. We're not told what the money that was given that day in the temple went on to accomplish. We're not told what kind of projects it accomplished, what it went on to support. Surely the widow's two coins really didn't amount to a whole lot in terms of accomplishing something of temple work. But just because we don't know that, doesn't mean it wasn't powerful. By submitting herself to the Lord, the widow also showed a higher regard for those around her, for others in her life. She did not esteem herself as more important than other people in the temple that day. She did not think that her priorities were greater than her fellow believers. A truly thankful attitude points in the same direction. It's easy to let our thankfulness kind of be like our forgiveness, only offering it when we think a person deserves it. Sometimes we refuse to forgive someone because we don't think that they're sorry enough, because they haven't taken the first step in apologizing, or maybe we don't consider them worthy of our forgiveness. In the same way, there are times when we are only thankful to the Lord if He has met our expectations. Did the Lord provide what we thought He should? Did He provide it at the time we thought He should? Do I have the quality or standard of living that I feel like I deserve or that I need? Would I really be content, as the Bible dictates, with only food and clothing? The widow's caring attitude of putting others above herself was a product of operating by the Lord's terms. Our human flesh looks at this as restrictive, that we deserve more, that we can get more, that we should have it, that we need it. God tells us that His term is liberating for our lives. His terms free us to genuinely serve Him and others around us, to show a caring attitude that we would not be able to show on our own. The widow didn't live her life by her own definitions of what she needed. She didn't live her life by the society's definitions around her that she deserved a certain amount. She trusted in what the Lord had given her. She trusted in what His Word provided for her. And she allowed that to determine what was her worth. The widow realized that she was valuable not because she had a certain amount of possessions and not because she was able to do a certain amount for the Lord, but because the Lord had already declared it in His Word. The Lord had already set down the terms of her quality as an individual, as a believer, out of His grace for her. A believer who trusts this in their lives, no matter how poor they are, no matter what they can do for the Lord, is truly a powerful believer. Speaking of power, isn't that what this story really reflects? The contrast here? The widow was powerless, yet she was commended by Jesus. The widow had nothing, yet she was still thankful. The lesson for our lives is that the illusion of earthly power can rob us of having the very same treasures that the widow had. One of the most famous passages in Scripture is Philippians 2:13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's a passage that talks about power. This passage is so popular in our world, and I find it interesting because it's popular in an age where the Word of God really isn't all that popular. Why is that the case? because power has not gone out of style, and it never will go out of style. A passage like this that talks about how we could have strength through Christ is kind of appealing. People want to follow it because they want that strength. And if following Christ can give me that power, well, maybe it's worth it for my life. But what happens when the power that Christ offers doesn't come in the form or the package that we think it should? Or maybe it doesn't allow us to have the influence or do the things that we want to do. That kind of attitude is seeking it on our terms and not God's. Most people don't realize the context of Philippians 2:13. It's actually a very similar context to the lesson of the widow this morning. In the prior verses of Philippians, Paul wrote, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be in need, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul's boast of his power, of his strength in Christ, was set in terms of his need. He relied on Christ because he needed Christ, not because he wanted Christ to give him his every desire in life. For Paul, this truth was more than just a popular catchphrase to fit with his line of thinking. Likewise, the power of the thankful believer always comes back to the same thing: the need in our lives that Christ has fulfilled. It is when we are in need that Christ strengthens us. It is when we don't have that his power uplifts us. It is through repentance and humility that we receive the greatest power, the forgiveness of our sins. When Jesus came to earth, he proclaimed that he came to save the lost, not those who thought they were righteous, not those who were power hungry. When Jesus came to earth, he said, "If you don't need a Savior, you have no part in the kingdom of heaven." When it comes to truly being thankful, never underestimate what the power of Christ means in your life. What a miracle that he can forgive sin. What a blessing that his undeserved love is given to the lost and the fallen. And when it comes to being thankful, how amazing it is that God can take somebody like me, an ungrateful, undeserving sinner, and make them praise and honor his name. That is power indeed. A truly thankful attitude is surprising and unexpected. But it doesn't mean it has to be a rare thing. You've all seen and experienced examples in your life. You've seen those people that overflow with thankfulness, that are content in every circumstance, the ones who defy what we would expect, the Mr. Roths of the world, the poor widows of the world, the Apostle Pauls of the world, the ones who are thankful and trusting to the Lord in every circumstance. But the key that Jesus gives you in the power of your faith is that that doesn't have to be a rare thing in your life either. Just like those individuals, you too can rejoice in thanksgiving, in true thanksgiving, through the power of your Savior Jesus. What a blessing that is indeed. Amen. Please rise.